Welcome to the third installment of Conservative and Chic podcast. My name is Nicole and I'm the host of Conservative and Chic podcast. And I'm here with one of my old friends and a great state representative from District 6 here in Iowa, welcoming Megan Jones. Welcome, Megan.
Thank you.
And like I said, we have been friends for a number of years. Both of us kind of share how we kind of got started in politics before. We've been in politics for since a very young age. Can you kind of tell me how you got involved in politics?
I had always been interested in government and history and politics. And so I just volunteered. I volunteered for a local state house race, and my state representative wrote me a letter of recommendation to serve as a page in the Iowa House. And I got that job. And actually, page applications are being accepted right now. So if anybody knows any juniors or seniors in high school who are looking to get more involved in the legislative process or in government politics, being a page is a wonderful way to do that. So applications to be a page opened up, I think, last week. And so those applications are available on the legislative website. So I applied, I got accepted, and I served as a page my senior year of high school. Got to know legislators really well because you interact with them all the time. You're constantly, you're not doing glamorous work, right? You're getting water, getting sodas, getting lunch, running out to their car when they, forgot their cell phone or whatnot. So it's not glamorous work by any means. But I learned some on the job training. I learned some of those soft skills of how to work the fax machine and those kinds of things. But I also got to meet lawmakers. And so one of those lawmakers was Representative Claude Bodler from the Greenfield area. And he said, "Hey, you seem to understand this process. And I'd really like it if you worked for me if you went to Drake for college." And I said, "Sure, that'd be great. Would love to do that." And so I did that for the next 4 years. I then went to law school in Minnesota, worked in the Minnesota legislature for a little bit while I was in law school, worked out in the lobby for a semester. And then when I was graduating, redistricting happened. I was moving back home, and there was no incumbent in the seat, and I didn't know what that meant. And I was really confused. I was like, "Well, there's nobody there. What happens? What do we do?" And so I remember calling around, figuring out like, "Well, what happens when we're left without anybody?" And somebody said, "Well, you're gonna run." And so I did. And I beat my high school government teacher for the job, and that was in 2012, and I've been reelected since.
And awesome. And you do such a great job.
Thank you.
And also, you said that you started at a young age, being one of the three youngest state reps. What were some of the challenges? And like you said, you did get some on-the-job training. How did being a page and a clerk kind of prepare you to run for office or to take the office, I mean?
So I mean, I knew where the bathrooms were. I knew the building. I knew some of the people. Certainly, I knew the process of setting up an office, right? So I knew that I needed to have strong constituent relations, and so I knew I needed to be sending out certificates. I knew I needed to subscribe to all the newspapers. I knew I needed to do all of that. But how that's helped me is that I also know that the freshmen coming in don't know those things, right? And so I've been able to help some of my freshman colleagues, like, "Hey, make sure you go subscribe to the newspapers." "Oh yeah, that's a really great idea. Then I can make sure that I know that it's Florence's 90th birthday, and so I can send her a birthday certificate." So just little quick tips are really helpful that I learned, when I was a clerk. It really helped me make sure that I could hit the ground running on day one. So that was really helpful that I could just build my office from the outset rather than try to spend the first, couple of weeks or couple of months trying to set up an office when I already knew what I was doing.
Awesome. And many don't realize the amount of behind the scenes work, so to speak, that goes into preparing for each vote, each meeting, each speech and session. Now for I know that from serving elective office as well, that no day is ordinary, so to speak, but what can you kind of give my listeners and viewers kind of an idea of what the day-to-day life is like on Terrace Hill?
Yeah, so I mean, every day is an adventure, and I wake up never knowing what's going to be thrown at me, right? So, I suppose the flood is probably the best example of that, right? So, I woke up on June 22nd of 2024, heading to a swim meet in Estherville. And so, here I was getting my family ready. We were all putting on our Spencer Swim t-shirts and we were all headed out the door. And I was getting some messages from swim families, but also some from constituents like, hey, there's some water happening here. I'm not sure what to do. Like, just a few weird oddities that were happening. And okay, we'll have to, we'll have to work through this. Okay, like reaching out to some folks. Okay, we're gonna work through this. Okay. But then there were some road closures, weird things started happening, right? And then the swim meet got canceled. And so it was like, oh, okay, well, we're gonna have to talk to the DOT. Like roads are getting canceled or closed. Like, okay, weird things are happening. I headed to Spencer to go help my mom because she had some water in her basement, right? And that's kind of where my day just totally changed, right? And so long story short, I ended up on the roof of an elementary school in my parents' neighborhood with my family because we were stuck. We were stuck in their subdivision. And that day was particularly interesting and insightful from a legislator perspective because I was having my own personal problems because there I was stuck on an elementary school building trying to escape a flood. With my five children and my husband, my mom and her two dogs. But then also I had 30,000 constituents who were also facing a crisis of their own, right? So I was so very grateful that my husband could engage and make sure that our children were taken care of. But then I could also physically be there for my constituents who were in Lincoln School, and I could help navigate them through the process of getting them, those who were physically able, we could get them to the roof of the school. Those who were not physically able, we could get them evacuated as quickly as possible if they were medically fragile. But then also the communications that were coming in.
Right.
Many constituents who just needed calm down, right? They needed just reassurance that we were going to be okay, reassurance that we were on it, that we knew the water was happening, but then also the communications out the door. So I was in contact with the governor. I remember telling her, I said, Governor, I feel like Gilligan, right? I said, we are okay. We are okay. We are surrounded by water. We are sunburned and we are hungry. We are okay. But we don't want to be here. And there were helicopters overhead, and we're like flagging them down, like letting them, we're here, but we're alive and we're okay. We just don't want to be here. Congressman Feenstra's team and Congressman Feenstra himself were reaching out. They were wonderful through all of that, but that day was not a day that I had it ever anticipated. And waking up, I had no idea that that's what was going to be thrown at me. But certainly, you just have to power through, right? And you have to handle every situation that comes at you. I wouldn't have had it any other way. I was in the right places at the right time. I would have not been able to be sitting at home watching my constituents go through all of that and try to battle that. I would have went to Spencer anyways. I would have went to Cedar Rapids anyways. So, I was at the right place at the right time. But when you say like, what does a, what do you wake up with, or what does your, what, no day is normal. That's probably the day where I woke up and I had no idea what was going to be thrown at me.
Absolutely. And that happens so much. Not only are you serving as, a state representative and serving your constituents, but you're also a citizen in that community. You're going through the same thing. So I think that was so important to kind of bring up because a lot of people sometimes don't realize, so to speak, that you're going through the same things they are. And that is reassuring for, especially for your fellow constituents. And since you did bring up the flood, I recently went through Spencer for the Clay County Fair. And if you haven't been to the Clay County Fair, it is the largest county fair in America for a reason. It is so much fun. And they have great food. The cookies are amazing. So definitely check that out. But I had an opportunity to go to that and I saw the recovery process and how much has progress since last year. Can you kind of tell me about where you're at as far as recovery process there in the region over there?
Yeah, so I appreciate your kind words, because I think from the people who visit every now and again, recovery looks wonderful, right? Like, we've done a great job. We're really hard on ourselves, so, right? We see the every day we drive by those buildings that are like that need to be demolished, but FEMA hasn't gotten us that clearance yet. And so every day we drive by those buildings and it's like, oh, come on, right? And so we're really hard on ourselves, and it's like, it's really hard to not be, dejected about that progress, right? But to hear that from you, like, hey, you're making really good progress, and it's great to see the recovery that you've done so far. We really appreciate that, because we have come so far and we have done so much and we have been through so much and we are so strong. We really have come so far through so much. I mean, just the fact that we made it through June 22nd, and we did lose one life, and that was really awful. We could have lost so many more. That day was really awful, and the fact that we made it through the way that we did, with the strength that we did, is really quite remarkable, and we don't give ourselves enough credit. Iowans are very humble, right? We're very humble people, and so we don't want to pat ourselves on the back enough. And we just powered through. We never took the time to give ourselves the credit or to have the cake, or to celebrate our accomplishments. And it's really hard to celebrate something so awful, right? Like, having cleaned out your basement, or to having dried out your basement, or to have, put up new drywall, or to have put in new carpeting. Those are really hard things to celebrate, but it's progress nonetheless. And it's really hard progress to see from the outside, right? So we really have come so far, and we are doing great things. It's just going to take some time. Recovering from a natural disaster does take a lot of time. The federal government moves at a glacial pace at best. I think they're doing some great things. I went to a dinner this last weekend, and Kristi Noem was one of the featured speakers, and she is in charge of FEMA. And I think we're going to see some good things coming out of good changes coming out of FEMA in the upcoming years, but it's going to take time changing the federal government. That's not an easy task. But changing it while they're having to do things and to allocate funds and still function as a governmental entity, that's even harder. So it's going to take some time. We need them to move faster, but it's never fast enough, right? So Lincoln School was able to get some federal funds, and I think it was expedited, and that helped. So Lincoln School was reopened for this school year, and that was wonderful to see. That's where my family was stuck with many of my parents' neighbors from my childhood neighborhood. And so that was a really wonderful piece of closure, I think, for us, at least for our family, to see that school building reopened. For us, we needed that. We needed to see that school building reopened. We needed to be there that night, during the open house. It was just nice to see that this is where so much tragedy happened on our end, and to see it pieced back together and to see it be useful again. We needed that. And so those pieces are happening. It's just going to take some time.
Right, absolutely. And now like I said, we've known each other since we've been barely out of college. Watching you become a wife and a mother, you're talking about your children. You are a mom of five beautiful children, and they are just the sweetest kids. And I remember when you first had your first child and returning so shortly to the state house, and you made national news after you had your daughter in doing the same thing. And it's just awe-inspiring how you do that. And can you talk about how being a mom has changed your perspective in a state house, kind of how you look into that? Because I know that for me, being before I became an aunt, I had a different perspective, but becoming an aunt changes your perspective on how you look at education reform, so to speak, or any kind of children's productive, children's productive rights issues and things like that. Can you kind of go into that a little bit about how it's changed your perspective when you look at legislation?
Yeah, I mean, so as a legislator, I always need to be listening to my constituents, right? So, I suppose I don't know how much it's really changed my maybe voting record because I can't just be here for me, right? But has it put me into new networks and new circles where people might feel more comfortable talking to me? Absolutely. Absolutely. And I appreciate being at those tables and I appreciate being, at dance class where I can listen to what people have to say and people might feel more comfortable talking to me. It's putting me at different in different environments that I might not have been in otherwise. And I appreciate the opportunity to have those conversations and to be in circles where people might feel more comfortable talking to me where they might not have otherwise. But I hope that everybody always feels comfortable talking to me. I try to be approachable and I try to be out and about in the community as much as I can. I try to be an open book. I try to not be a scary legislator. I know sometimes I probably can be, but I try to be pretty open on social media in particular, and I try to open those doors. Because I the last thing I want is my constituents to be afraid to talk to me. But I do appreciate that having kids has broken some of those barriers, right? And whether it's just having a baby with me, right? And that kind of eases some tension in and of itself. But also it's just put me in new environments. I will say having the babies on the house floor, that always broke down barriers, always, right? So, I'll never forget when Speaker Linda would just text me and say, "Bring that baby back. I'm having a bad day." It was always wonderful that if somebody was maybe a little crabby, having and not Speaker Linda, the Democrats. When the Democrats were having were when they were crabby, they knew having a baby there, they needed to tone their rhetoric down a little bit because yelling on the House floor was going to wake up that baby. And so they needed to tone themselves down. But if Speaker Linda was maybe just having a little difficult meeting, she just needed to have a little baby with her. And so she would call me back to her office, not because she wanted me there, but because she wanted that baby. And that was always so wonderful to have that. And so I think the babies have only opened more doors for me, and broken down some barriers, that may not have always happened. But I'm so very blessed to have those five babies and I love them so very much. And, I am just so excited for the Iowa that we are creating for them. And every day I look at those five kids and I am just, I do this for them. I got home about 10:30 at night last night and my husband had accidentally left the child lock on our door, so I couldn't get in. And here I was like pounding, trying to wake up my husband, but trying not to wake up the kids. And I'm thinking, man, why do I do this, right? Like, why am I standing outside locked out of my own house at 10 o'clock at night, driving home from Des Moines? This is crazy because I knew I was going to have an early morning, trying to get kids ready for a picture day. This is crazy. And it was like, nope, I've got to do this because I need to keep working because I need to make sure that our state is in the best possible condition for these five babies. And so that is my motivating factor every day. A day in, day out, early mornings and late nights.
And we're both friends on social media, and you share those real moments like you're talking about, with being locked out last night and having to come in and lock the door. But you share those, and I think that's so important. You talk about how it opens barriers and how it opens doors for you in a way that people feel they can come to you. And I think that's so important because it also, like we're talking about how it's not all glamorous being in the state house. It's not all easy. It's hard work. It's dedication. It's late nights. It's being away from those children. And a lot of people, women who are considering, who have young children like yourself, who may see that as an obstacle to running for office. What kind of advice do you have for them? Because I know it's not easy for you, but you do make it look easy because you always seem like you always have it together. And here we are doing,
that, but
and like you said, we have, I mean, this is being recorded in early morning, so I really appreciate you taking the time to do that. But can you kind of talk about how, or not talk about, can you kind of give like an example or give kind of advice of how a woman like yourself, in your 30s, wanting to run for office, has five more children. How is that manageable for you, so to speak? And is that something, I mean, I know you would recommend that, obviously, but kind of advice on those who are maybe on the fence.
yeah, I mean, so words that I live by, what's the worst that could happen?
Right, exactly.
Right? Okay. So you run for office and you win. What's the worst that can happen? Right? You do it. Right? Okay. Great. Like, I mean, what's the worst? I mean, look, moms are really good at just folding in the next thing that happens, right? So after Tuesday comes Wednesday, right? And on Wednesday you're gonna have soccer practice, and so you just fold it in, right? And so you just fold in the next situation, right? So I often just think, what's the worst that could happen, right? Okay, so I signed my kid up for T-ball. What's the worst that could happen? On Thursday night we have T-ball. Okay. I mean, what honestly, what's the worst that could happen? You win and you do a great job. Okay. I mean, so look, we're just really good at addressing the situations that come our way and folding in the next day's situation. So, I mean, do I have to be organized? Absolutely. Do we have, a team of people that we can rely on? Absolutely, certainly. We have a wonderful school that is very helpful and accommodating to our situations. When I can email them and be like, "Hey, we're remodeling our floor, and I think we're going to live out of a hotel next week." So, which is an actual email I sent a couple weeks ago. But like, hey, we're not gonna have functioning bathrooms in our house for 3 days. So I think we're just gonna move into a hotel. And they're like, okay, we're just gonna deal with that, right?
Exactly.
And that's and look, they understand that everybody has crazy lives. Maybe ours is a little bit more peculiar than others. But kids are resilient. And everybody has a situation, right? I don't know if ours, it, maybe ours is a little bit peculiar, interesting, but I don't know if our situation is any more dramatic than anybody else's, right? I mean, every family brings a different set of circumstances to the table, and everybody accommodates. Everybody brings Wednesday on right after Tuesday, right? So what's the worst that can happen?
Right, is that, and I think that's so amazing because that's exactly how I felt, even though I wasn't a mom, but I had a lot of things I was juggling. Just being a public servant, you have to juggle that. But being, I think, a mom has such an ability to, like you said, adapt and to be able to do it. And I think having that perspective and having that, I think, almost makes you a better legislator because you know how to, push through, and you know that not everything's going to be perfect, but you're going to do the best you can. And you are just an incredible mom, and I see that because we are good friends and we have known each other forever. But I've gotten to see that behind the scenes, visiting you in Spencer during the state, county fair, seeing you at local events. It's just amazing how you do that, and I think it's encouraging because we could always use more moms in the state house, and I think that shouldn't be a hinder for someone who's considering running for office because the dads can do it, but they never second guess, they second guess moms doing that. And I think more and more that's becoming less and less as we see more amazing moms like yourself in the Iowa legislature or in legislatures across the country. So I just want to thank you for leading the way on that as well, so to speak, and
Well, thank you.
showing that in the real human side of that. I guess the last thing I would do is like, and it's probably the same thing, but any advice would you give like our younger selves? We both kind of started in politics at the same age, and there's a lot of, especially with the events that happened with Charlie Kirk and his assassination, we're seeing the impact that that is having with Turning Point USA and so many new chapters. And eventually we're going to see those kids champion and run for public office. Do you have any advice on like college students or even high school students wanting to be a page or wanting to be a clerk while they're in college and how to kind of get involved in that process?
Yeah, so the more I dig into the legacy of Charlie Kirk, I appreciate that he was so open about wanting his legacy to be about family and about children and about leaving this world with a as someone who established a beautiful family and a beautiful structure, in a place in this world, right? And I think our young people should not be afraid to do that, right? I feel like when I was in college, there was such a push to develop this, a professional persona first, and then worry about getting married and all the things later. And sure, that that route is fine too. But you can have it all at a young age too. And I just appreciate that he was so focused on his legacy so early on. And I think that takes such a great strength and maturity to understand and know and be so self-aware at such a young age, to know that that's what you want then, right? So I love that about his legacy, but then also I love that he was willing to have diplomatic conversations. And so it may seem like hip and hot to run to legislative forums and scream and yell and holler at your legislators and make a viral video and then never talk to them again. That's not productive. It's fascinating to me when people do that to me, and then I see them at Walmart and they don't even recognize me. And that is mind-boggling to me because it's like you were just screaming at me 4 days ago. And now I see you out in public, and it's like I would love to talk to you about the issues that are concerning to you, but you don't even recognize me. You don't even know who I am, but you're just screaming at me because you wanted to make headlines in the newspaper. And so that's frustrating to me as a policymaker because I want to make good policy, but I can't do that if we're just trying to go viral, right? And so I so very much appreciate that that wasn't his intention. He just wanted to have those conversations and be a generator of thought and of intellectualism, and he just had such a level head and a level sense of maturity that was so far beyond his years. It's just left a lasting impact on his generation, but I think it will create it has built such a foundation of discourse that I think is going to last for generations.
Oh, I agree. And so I just want to thank you for joining today. I know that you have a meeting in just a little under an hour. So I want to thank you for coming and being a part of this podcast. And I look forward to meeting with you soon again, and wish you all the best. And thank you for everything you're doing in for the state of Iowa and for Northwest Iowa as well.
Thank you. Thank you. Appreciate the opportunity.
Thanks. Okay.